Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Pirelli Stadium here in Burton upon Trent. Back out right to Matthews, just miscontrolled it slightly. Had to go back to.
It's been a couple of those for Charlton.
Sends it right on. He's intercepted by Aikens as he tempted to find Prattley. It's a shot saved by Amos, but should be a finish by Aikens, and it is.
Well, unfortunately, it sums up Charlton's opening 8 minutes. Sloppy, careless in possession. Charlton passes it out from the back. Prattley. Backwards to Amos, under pressure now from Edwards, and he's conceded possession. It's a chance for Power, chips it over Amos, and makes it two. And there's two individual errors that have cost Charlton, and it's two relatively simple goals for Burton Albion. The difference between the two sides. As Charlton with the corner, Shinny to take, swings it in. Gilby underneath it, comes back up in the air. Gunter heads back in. Watson with the header, and then Smith has over the line. Yes. Smith converts at the second attempt, and Charlton responded well. Corner comes in, it's a bit of a head tennis. Watson got something on it. Smith with the shot, it's on the line. Comes back to Smith, who shoots again. Then a couple of deflections, but Paul Smith has his first Charlton goal. Powell prepares to take. Passes short to Atkins. Gives it back to Powell. Now Vernon. Vernon chip ball in. It's a decent one to Hughes. It's a save. The ball comes down and Brayford converts. I think it's Hughes in the end who converts. A well-worked corner routine. Charlton struggling to deal with it. The ball was short. And a chip ball in for Vernon was a good one. Hughes got the initial contact saved by Amos. And the rebound was converted by a combination of Brayford and Hughes. I think Hughes is going to take the plaudits. He'll be brought forward to Washington, shooting opportunity. Connor Washington gets it onto his right foot, shoots, and saved by the goalkeeper. He taps it back out to Morgan. Chip ball in, looking for Anike. Controls down, Anike with the bicycle.
Oh, what a goal! Finish!
Oh, that's
what
brilliant.
A finish.
That's absolutely brilliant. Chest it down, bicycle kick, and Charlton back in the game.
That is outstanding. Ball into the feet of Aikens. Aikens turns, tries to find Vernon again. He finds him, tries to get the shot away. Oh, and it's ricochet back to him, and he's finished.
Oh, no.
That could have run anywhere, that shot. When it came off Brattley, and he went straight back to his feet, and he finished.
Well, you've got to hold your hands up and say, well, play him for his determination to get to that ball. From a Charlton perspective, again, it's yet another goal that's avoidable.
He's not allowed. And there was a clash of heads, but it's immaterial as Charlton go down 4-2 here at the Pirelli Stadium.
It's not the same, it's not the same, it's not the same. You're gonna tell me that I'm right. You know you're gonna come back, Don. Find yourself where you are again.
So, good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. My name is Louis Mendes. This is the big match preview on this week's podcast. We'll be looking back at the horror show up at the Pirelli Stadium against Burton Albion on Tuesday, and of course ahead to Saturday's massive game with Ipswich Town over at Portman Road. Joining me online to do just that, first up is Mr. Lewis Catt. Lewis, how are you? Have you recovered from Tuesday yet?
Oh, I don't know, mate. I don't know if I'd ever recover from that. It was pretty dire, wasn't it? But yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad.
Yeah.
Long way to go yet. Bounce back.
Yeah, you haven't got PTSD or anything from that.
Well, I don't know, mate. I've probably got way more than that after watching that. But
yeah.
What can you do? We were due a bit of a shocker. That's just the Charlton way, isn't it? So hopefully it's out of the way now.
Yeah, exactly. Another man who was hiding behind the sofa watching that horror show on Tuesday evening, Benji Cloak. How are you doing, Ben?
Hiding behind the sofa. I think I was chucking things at the TV, more like. But Yeah, just about recovered from Tuesday night.
Excellent stuff. Well, let's get back on the horse and look ahead to the Ipswich game later on. We'll also talk about the possibility of fans being back at the Valley as soon as next week. We're hoping for the game against Milton Keynes on Wednesday evening. So we'll hear about that a little bit later on. We'll hear from Lee Bowyer throughout the show. And of course, the first thing, Lou, we're going to hear after we've just heard the goals is we're going to hear his reaction to that game on Tuesday. The 4-2 defeat against Burton Albion. Burton have only won once this season. The last time Burton had won was on 19th of September. If you try and put that date into some sort of context, it was the last time that Alex Gilby had played a game. So if you think of how long he was out for, that was the last and only time Burton had won before we played them. So where on earth did that come from on Tuesday? Gifting them two, maybe arguably three goals. Then the fourth goal we didn't defend too well for either. And yeah, every time it looked like we were getting back into it, we just gave away another silly goal, Lewis. It was just one of those evenings that you just didn't see coming from a mile off.
No, exactly that. I mean, I went into the game naturally very optimistic because, you know, you look at the table and you sort of assume that, don't you? You think, oh, today's going to be a game where we can try and gain a bit more ground on the top two, and probably wrongfully, really, because anything can happen in this division. And Burton sort of historically have had quite a few decent seasons. I remember playing them when we were in League One before and we really struggled there. So I don't know what had happened to them this season, but I was expecting us to do a lot better than we did on Tuesday night. And I just think maybe our shape was a bit wrong in the first half. I felt like our midfield was sort of wasted and isolated. Madison wasn't really doing a huge amount out wide. I felt like they isolated the creativity of Andrew Shinney and Gilby as well. And up front as well, you know, Omar will be very disappointed that he came off, but ultimately just wasn't really sort of giving enough. And you don't know whether that's just a little bit of fatigue because he'd played, I think he'd played before that, you know, on the weekend. So, you know, it's one of them, isn't it? It's a bad day at the office, ultimately. And those mistakes that we made to gift those goals are incredibly unnatural for us. We don't make a huge amount of mistakes, and especially one of them coming from Ben Amos as well, who we know has been absolutely outstanding this season. So you've got to put it down to that, really, haven't you? Just a bad day at the office. And I know that Lee Bowyer was incredibly disappointed. We'll hear that later on. But I think that I'm trying not to sort of, you know, rub the salt in the wound too much. I'm trying to get over it as quickly as possible because it's a long, long old season, isn't it? And our performances up to yesterday, to Tuesday night, have been incredibly positive. So just a little bump in the road, and we go again on Saturday.
Yeah, it certainly was very an uncharacteristic performance from us, Ben. I mean, we do have to, again, put it into the context of the season. It's our first defeat in 9 games, okay? And it was a shocker and it was a very bad performance. But, you know, probably in danger of getting carried away, but we do have to analyse the mistakes, particularly for the first two goals. I mean, the ball from Chris Gunter that laid it on a plate for Lucas Akins for the first one inside the first 10 minutes. And then, I mean, the second was probably, 6 or 7 minutes before half-time. And, you know, again, just overplaying it at the back. And I think Burton seemed to have our number there. They could see that if they pressed us high and put us under a little pressure, we weren't as comfortable in possession as we probably should be.
Yeah, exactly what I said to a mate of mine who lives in Burton. He tweeted me straight after the game. And I said, you boys done a number on us. They did their homework. They pressed us high. They probably saw we got two centre-backs who don't normally play in that position. And pressing us high caused us to make two big mistakes. We obviously, Darren and Chris look nervy on the ball because it's not their natural position. You look at Chris, he's probably normally at right back, looking down the wings to try and play a ball, not receiving it and looking down the middle, looking down the line. And it showed, unfortunately. We looked nervy all over the pitch, as you and Lewis said before. It was an uncharacteristic performance. And I think Bowyer said it after the game. It didn't look like they played together before. It really was one of those performances where you're pulling your hair out thinking, come on, what are we doing? I mean, there's ways to lose, but gifting them two goals just seemed quite comical. But there you go. We're going to come up against teams that are the underdogs like Burton were and think, right, here we go. We're going to try and do a number on them, as we said, like tonight. And unfortunately, we didn't react well to that. After doing giving them a goal for the first one, we did exactly the same for the second, and we just didn't really recover at the back. I think up front we created enough chances. It's just at the back we just looked quite shaky, which was obviously very disappointing.
Yeah, obviously everyone brought up the similarities to that game at Scunthorpe a few years ago, where it was a bit back and forth, and you're thinking, well, we could actually go on and get something here, especially when we kept coming back into the game. I mean, that overhead kick from Chooks and Ike to pull us back to 3-2 and was a spectacular goal, and all of a sudden you think, right, some momentum, but again, we concede so soon after. Doesn't help, I guess, that we don't have a single centre-back who was fit to start. You know, Bo said today to Richard Corley, didn't he, that he doesn't think Jason Pearce or Deji Oshalaja will be fit enough to start Saturday up at Ipswich, so it is looking like it'll be the Gunter and Prattley partnership at centre back. If we remember, they did okay in other games there. It's just, you know, ideally we want some players back as soon as possible. We'll hear about Akin Fainwo's road to recovery soon. Obviously, in the first half as well, big news, a substitution was made within the first half. Not something you see too often, Lewis, but Omar Bogle hauled off after 33 minutes for Chucks and Ike. Now, of course, you know, Bo really praised Bogle just on Saturday, you know, even after the penalty incident with Connor Washington, where he tried to take the ball off him, and in the end, obviously, Washington won that argument. But Bo did not see what he wanted to see from Omar on Tuesday evening, which is, it's going to be interesting to see how he reacts now, Omar, to being substituted early. He went straight down the tunnel after going off, as did Marcus Madison, actually, in the second half as well. It's going to be an interesting few weeks for those two.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think either of them can take a huge amount of glory away from that performance, you know, but you can't pin it on just those two. There weren't really any impressive performances out there Tuesday night. With Omar, you know, we've seen over the sort of last few weeks, and Bo's mentioned it quite a few times, that he does do like the dirty stuff, you know, he holds the ball up well, he brings others into play, but he wasn't really doing that on Tuesday. Like, he just seemed a little bit sort of out of sorts. And apart from that chance he had in the first half that was, even then, was sort of deflected and the keeper was forced into tipping it over the bar. Apart from that, like, there was no real impact from him. And obviously at 2-0 down, you know, we've seen before, you know, Bowie is not scared to make changes. We saw it last year, didn't we, at QPR when he pulled off Ben Purrington in sort of 20-30 minutes. So it shows that he's not afraid to make the changes if he doesn't feel that someone's pulling their weight. And the same with Marcus, you know, I mean, whether the system suited his style of play, because I just felt that he was nowhere really. I thought I was, you know, he didn't do a huge amount at Gillingham, but he still had those really good chances, you know, the free kick and sort of long range efforts. And he's starting to show what he's capable of in terms of his delivery and assists. It's sort of getting that sharpness there. So you can slowly see it coming back in. But on Tuesday night, I mean, he was totally anonymous. And really, until he came off and Albie came on, I don't really think we looked overly in the game at all. You know, as Benji said there, like, it's just one of those. It's a bad day at the office. You just got to put it to bed as soon as possible. We got a massive game Saturday against a side that are up there and want to be up there at the end of the season like we do. And I think that as a club, we've kind of got a bit of a history of you know, relishing those sort of encounters, especially if we're looking for an immediate reaction to try and get winning again. Because, you know, that's a couple of, we've had these, you know, consecutive wins, and you know, the draw at Gillingham and now a defeat to Burton. You do want to turn that around as quick as possible. And I think that we'll relish the, you know, the opportunity to go to Ipswich on Saturday and try and do just that.
Excellent stuff. Right, so it was a disappointing evening at the Pirelli Stadium on Tuesday. I caught up with the Addicts boss, Lee Bayer, afterwards to find out what he made of the game.
Poor. From start to finish. Too many people just going through the motions. You can't give, no matter what league, what country, you can't give teams, no matter where they are in the division, a two-goal head start. And the two goals we give away, like, just errors, individual errors. I've never seen anything like it.
So you mentioned, I mean, the goals that your side gave away, it's not a normal thing that you see from a Charlton side. What do you think the sloppiness was down to this evening?
I don't know. I've never seen it before myself. Complacency. Sloppiness. maybe because we was unbeaten in eight, we think we can just turn up to games and win. It's not that simple. Football isn't like that. I just reminded them in there, and I've reminded a few of them, like, that ain't acceptable, and that will never be acceptable. Not playing for me. So, yeah. I think we had one of these crazy nights before, didn't we? Was it Scunny 2 years ago? Like, we just give the just amazing goals away all the time. I said to Jacko, like, when they got their third one, I was like, it just reminds me of that game that on that Tuesday night. It was just unbelievable. It was like we'd never played football before. It was just crazy. Connor Washington come on, he could have had hat trick. He only on 20 minutes. Like, he should have had hat trick. The game should have been about 7-7. Like, it was just not a normal game of football. I don't know. I can't put it down to anything. That's just not like us at all. And the worst thing is, it was like the more senior players that was doing it, who's been in the game forever. So it's just one, put it to bed and just get ready for the weekend, you know. It's just another away game, third away game in bloody, what, in a week. But we've just got to dust ourselves down. Obviously, we will revisit that tonight. Tonight's performance, we will visit that, and but they won't make their mistakes again. Like, they won't make their mistakes again in the whole season. So yeah, but disappointing because we had an opportunity. You know, we're in a good place, and like I said, I'm beating an eight and then going to do that. That just, no, I didn't see that coming at all.
You made a change in the first half when you were looking to try and get a reaction or something from your side. You took Omar, Bogor and Balchuk's and EK on. What was your reasoning behind that? Is Omar struggling with an injury or anything like that? Or was it more of a tactical change?
It wasn't really tactical because I brought off like for like. There was nothing wrong with Omar apart from he wasn't doing what I expect him to do as a striker. You see the difference in Chucks and EK from Omar Bogor. That's what I expect from all my strikers. Omar was doing that and has been doing that. But for some reason, today, he was miles off it. And I won't have it. So, yeah, that's why I done it.
I guess, obviously, if we are going to try and look for some positives, you know, we did see a bit of spirit there and an excellent goal from Chooks and EK. I mean, in terms of Chooks starting, does he feel like he's close enough with his fitness now to go for 60 minutes like he did tonight more often?
Yeah, but my worries with Chooks is you have to just be careful with him. He's very, very temperamental. His body is very temperamental. And like we know that. We've obviously learned over the last, 18 months, wherever he's been here, year and a half. We've learned that about Chooks, and trust me, I would have started him long before now, if I could. But comes a point where I had to bring him on today to play him for 60 minutes. I had to. I couldn't keep watching what was happening. It wasn't good. So I've just got to look after Chooks, and again, he's come off the bench and scored.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
ball inside. That's a good ball to find Shinny. It's a lovely great first ball. Touch. And Shinny, reverse ball, finds Washington, who's through on goal. Connor Washington!
There it is!
And Charlton take the lead after 31 minutes. It's a lovely assist from Andrew Shinny. We have to be honest, Charlton haven't really been in the game that much in the opening 31 minutes. But it just took one passage of decent play. Firstly from Gunsen, the ball forward. Shinny with the control. It's a lovely control. And the reverse ball to find Washington, who kept his composure and fired beyond Eastwood.
Charlton Live.
There we go then. Welcome back to Charlton Live. The big match preview there. We just heard from Lee Bowyer after the game against Burton Albion on Tuesday. A really disappointed Lee Bowyer. Probably a little bit baffled as to where that came from as well. Some of those mistakes. So the sort of which we don't make too often. I know we do like to play it around at the back, and like I say, I do think that Burton sort of picked up on that a little bit, and they really hassled us and harried us and made us rush our possession, which didn't work out too well for us, and we paid the consequences for it. Now, I did ask for some opinions to see what some people what you made of the game out there. Mina said many teams now playing the same way, slowly out from the back without any variation, like a dreadful Fulham side. So many defenders cocking up. I'm guessing that this current fad of way of playing, it's not sexy to watch. He enjoyed Everton's first half against Fulham. That was sexy. Well, obviously, yeah. Well, if we can reach that standard, hopefully we'll make you a bit happier. Right, Steve Richards said we didn't deserve anything against Burton Albion. If you give the opposition a two-goal head start, you will struggle at any level. Impact of four injured centre-backs is plain for all to see. Officiating this season has scraped the bottom of the bottomless barrel, though. Ridiculous number of yellow cards. Obviously, we'll need more signings in January to sustain a push for promotion, guaranteed to beat Ipswich 4-0 now. Yeah, well, sometimes we do react quite well after that, so I'm hoping that we were right. Tony sent a message on Tuesday as well. Evening, gents. I can already see the panic on Twitter. I think Tuesday we were poor and there isn't anywhere else to go. It was bad and we just gifted goals away. Amos has been great this season. One bad game shouldn't wipe people's memories. Let's not get back to what people did with Dylan Phillips. We need to draw a line under the bad game and move on. We had a few blips when we went up two seasons ago, like Scunthorpe away or Rochdale away is probably another one I could add to the mix there. So let's not panic. I wasn't too concerned about Bogle until tonight. He needs a goal quick. Let's hope it's against his old club on Saturday. Keep the faith. Come on, Euros. That's from Tony in Eltham. Only around the corner from me, Tony. Thanks for your message. Phil said, hi, guys. The only good thing that came out of that was I've been entered into the draw for Chris Farnell's Range Rover. Yeah, well, having been, I travelled in the Range Rover up to the game, actually, on Tuesday, and it's very nice. Although, don't mess around with the preset seat settings in the passenger seat, because basically, I pressed one of the preset settings just to see what the button did, and it turns out it was set up for basically a midget, and I was squeezed up against the front, and I was stuck there for like 10 minutes, so we couldn't work out how to get it back, so don't do that. right, I said individual mistakes. Passes going astray, a lack of intensity, you could go on. We may get promotion in May, but so far this team is way off the 2018-19 side. We had the international break, but it appears like they've all been on holiday. We have a squad now that most teams in this league would die for. Hopefully that's a one-off performance. Ipswich Saturday will tell us how this squad and Bowyer can bounce back, fingers crossed. What would you reckon, Ben? So Phil said this team is way off the team that went up 2 years ago. I'd say it's certainly a different style of team. How do you think that the two of them compare?
Well, I think in hindsight, we might not think so. But because you look at, well, Christian Bellick's injured now, but you look at him going for 10 million. You look at Joe Aribo, a regular in the Rangers side and playing in Europa League. You look at Lyle Taylor playing well in the Championship. We kind of look at those players and think, yeah, they've gone on to do well. But again, I think this team's a little bit older than the other team as well. But look, who would have said weeks ago that in, as you said earlier, that in these nine games, we've won six, we've drawn two, we've lost one. It's easy to jump to these things after a bad defeat and a frustrating draw against Gillingham. But before that, we would have said, oh, look, we wouldn't have ever thought that we would get a team close to how we did, to how we got promoted a couple of seasons ago when we had no money. Well, we couldn't spend any money or bring any players in. So, yeah, look, we've got to realise that a fundamental part of that game, why we lost it on Tuesday, was because we didn't have any centre-back playing in that team. And that was, for me, the main reason why we didn't win. Okay, look, we've missed a few chances as well, but look at the goal from Chucks. He's scoring goals regularly now. If he can keep that up, he can replace what Taylor did for us when we got promoted, or where Carlin as well. So let's, instead of trying to liken it to before, let's look at the positives we have got. Okay, as you said, we did have a blip with that Scunthorpe game the season when we got promoted, and the Rochdale game, I was there for that one. I think we lost 1-0 and missed a penalty that day. I think even Taylor missed a penalty, uncharacteristic for him. But let's try and look for the positives and think, okay, look, this is a different setup. This is a last minute setup. But there's definitely a lot of positives we can take from this team, and don't let a bad result overshadow that, I don't think.
Excellent stuff. Right, Steve emails in. All right, chaps, so no issues with losing the game. It's going to happen sometimes in this league. But I was so disappointed with the lack of desire out there. Not one player can say they gave anywhere close to 100% on Tuesday. Even when we went 2-2, there was no reaction, no fight or pride. Maddison was a chief culprit. And is there any coincidence that the performances have dropped since he's started games? If he's not up to the fight, then tear up the contract, as he's not wanted in that case. A great mantra is hard work beats talent. That doesn't work hard. And that explains the results. They wanted it way more than us. So congratulations to Burton. Hopefully Bose and JJ have got into them when we see a reaction on Saturday. Keep the faith and come on, you Reds. Yeah, I mean, the Maddison thing, we haven't really spoken too much about him, Lewis, but he ain't really set the world alight just yet. But I think the thing that's more concerning for me is the way, I mean, it looked like he flounced off, basically. He went off the pitch and went down the tunnel.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to see that from players anyway. I mean, especially with a player like Marcus. I mean, he didn't have a club to go to. You know, like, we've given him an opportunity here when no one else was really knocking on the door. We know what he can do at this level. We've signed him for a reason, because he's got a great record in League One, assists and goals. We know that he can do it, but there have always been question marks over maybe his attitude and sort of work ethic, etc. And he has to prove himself. I mean, you know, we're a fan base that will remember, you know, it's the Charlton mantra almost, that we get these players that give 100%. They might not be the best technically gifted players, but they always give 100% and achieve. And Marcus Maddison is, you know, he's a player that we know technically at this level is, you know, one of the best players in the division when he's firing on all cylinders. But you have to have the attitude to match it to suit the, you know, a Bowyer team. And we see that with, you know, the likes of Darren Prattley. When we signed him a few years ago, we were thinking he was going to be like a bit part player, a bit of experience. He went on to be, you know, paramount in that promotion winning season. One of our better players last year when we got relegated. And even this season, we'll fill in wherever needed, you know, regardless of the poor performance Tuesday as a team. He's one of those players that gives everything wherever you're asked him to play. And that's a Charlton player. And Maddison has to sort of buy into that properly. Or, you know, as the guy there tweeted, you know, he's not going to suit what this club's about. But I've got faith that he'll come good. I mean, we know he's good at this level, and he does have a point to prove, because no other club was knocking for him, you know. Arguably, he could be playing in the Championship if he got his head right. But I think given time, he'll get there. But at the moment, I mean, when Albie Morgan came on, he completely lifted our whole team. And, you know, that's one of our youngest players that, you know, a month or so ago, there wasn't even a non-league team in to loan him. You know, look at how he's reacted. That's what being a Charlton player is all about, and Maddison could take a leaf out of his book.
Excellent stuff. Right, I got a message in from Kiwi Valley the other day saying, people talk about strengthening in January, but how is this possible with the wage cap? Sell some players in order to buy some, is it? And if so, who? So I think, by the sounds of it, we've got a bit of movement in our wage cap somewhere. Like, there's still a little bit of room. But I mean, I imagine if you could loan out some players, or if there is someone, Ben, I don't know if there's someone who you'd like to ship out to make space in the cap. I mean, you probably... Is there anyone you think is expendable at this moment? I mean, obviously, Marcus Maddison, based on the first two, but obviously it's very early days for him yet. But is there anyone you think you'd ship out if it meant getting someone better in?
You put me on the spot there a bit. I can't personally think of anyone at the moment. I know a lot of people are getting on Bogle's back, which I think's unfair. Let's see if he scores a goal first. Not really at the moment. I mean, we haven't had enough players fit for enough period of time to kind of give them proper judgment yet. But yeah, I think you have to have a 25-man squad and fill that in. So, I couldn't say. I personally couldn't knock a position yet. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't say we definitely need someone for that position. I wouldn't say that yet because look, Chucks is doing well up front. He hasn't started a run of games yet because Bo doesn't trust his fitness. So I couldn't say, look, we miss Alfie Doughty, definitely, down that side. He caused hell down there. And I'd love to see Smith take more of that role because I think he would prove a bit of that. But, yeah, we miss certain players, but I couldn't say I'd replace anyone yet.
It just shows how difficult the job will be for Lee Bowyer. And Thomas Sandgaard and Steve Gallen when it does come to the January window if they do want to will and deal. Right, let's have a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the fact that in just 6 days' time, some of you could be joining us at the Valley.
Chip ball to Pennington. Marks against it. Does ball across goal. Will it? Charlton goal! It's a brilliant well-worked move from Charlton. Foss Caskey, the ball to the far post of Marston, who did extremely well to get on the end of it. Ball across goal, and there's Williams to score. A man who's in goal-scoring form at the moment. One for Wales last month. His first for Charlton this month. What a moment.
Charlton Live. Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Before we turn our attention to Saturday's trip up to Ipswich Town, we should talk about the fact that after today's announcement that the London boroughs are all in Tier 2 under the coronavirus, the new coronavirus rulings, the new tier system, well, that means that Charlton now are allowed to have, well, as of next Wednesday when the new deal starts, up to 2,000 fans inside the stadium. Now, of course, that does, unfortunately, because a lot of our fan base live in Kent, which is in Tier 3, that will make it difficult for them. I believe that means they won't be allowed to go. But it does mean at least that those of you who live in the London boroughs of Bexley or Bromley or Greenwich or anywhere around here should be able to come to home games, up to 2,000 of you. Now, of course, we don't know exactly how they'll split the tickets yet. We haven't had confirmation yet as of time of recording. That we'll definitely be able to get this sorted in time for Wednesday for the game against Milton Keynes. But I think we're hopeful that they will be able to. And anyway, of course, Lee Bowyer was asked about that in press day today. Asked how important it will be that he'll be able to have at least some fans into the game as soon as possible.
Long overdue, I think, to get the fans back in. And I'm sure that we'll welcome them with open arms because we've definitely missed them. Football in general is not the same without the fans, and I was speaking to someone earlier and saying to him, like, a big part of us getting promotion 2 years ago, and the fans played a massive part in that. So hopefully now we can start getting them back slowly but surely and more, but the most important thing is that we've took that step forward now and fans are allowed to get back in.
I mean, it's probably an impossible question to answer, but Tuesday's game, do you think if we were 2-0 down, we'd made some mistakes, but we got back in it with the Smith goal just before half-time. If we'd have had a full away end in what is, what was a compact ground, we'd have probably had two-thirds at a capacity that would have been Charlton fans. And then later on, of course, you've got Chuck's goal gets us back to 3-2. Do you think that, with the crowd behind you, might have been a different game? Would have lifted the players?
Yeah, it would have lifted them for sure. Whether we'd have won the game, I don't know, because obviously the players, they're in them situations, they're going to be in the same situations, and will that help them take the chances? I don't know, because the chances weren't too difficult, were they? That we had, that was quite clear cut. So, yeah, I think it always helps, and it always gives us as a team that edge and that push, to keep pushing and pushing. And so, yeah, it would have helped for sure. Sure, I have no doubt about that, and it will help just having 2,000 at the Valley on Wednesday. So maybe it's a good thing now that we're playing on Wednesday, because at least we can get some fans in. If it had been Tuesday night, we wouldn't have been allowed to have them in, I don't think. So So yeah, most importantly, we're on the Wednesday now, and we get them into the stadium, and they can make some noise.
Well, there we go then. So potentially 2,000 fans. I feel really bad, Lewis, asking you about this because you're out there in Kent, so you're not on the list. But I mean, for those who will be able to get back, I mean, it's going to make a big difference to the atmosphere, even if you are watching on home at the stream on home as well, at least.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, from a personal point of view, I'm gutted that I'm in the tier I am, and I'm not going to be able to go to the games. But I'm also, you know, really happy for you guys that can go, because it makes a hell of a difference. I mean, I was lucky enough to go to the Doncaster pilot event, which I thought the club organised just flawlessly, and I felt incredibly safe. And that was sort of when the virus was creeping back up, you know. And sadly, we didn't get to continue that despite all the hard work and preparation. But it's obviously the number 2,000 is more than we had before. It's a shame that it's the number it is. I do think that there's a slight argument that you could base it on percentages because some stadiums are a lot larger. But then I do also understand that you've got to take into account people travelling to and from, you know, the valley safely and socially distanced. But I think, you know, it's a great start, and you have to start somewhere. So for the guys, you know, guys and girls who do get tickets, you know, relish it, be loud and proud, because when I went there for that pilot event, there was only 1,000 of us, and the difference in noise levels was incredible. And the result that day wasn't great. Thomas wasn't in at the time. You know, this time around, we're under new ownership. We've got a great squad. We're going well in the league. And it's a great time to go back, and hopefully they review my tier very quickly, and I can get back in as soon as possible as well. But for everyone that gets a ticket to go, you know, I'm made up for you all, because I think all of us have missed football and live football more than we ever imagined, really. I don't think I'll ever take for granted those like freezing cold, like Tuesday night games against Rochdale or something like that, where you can't feel your toes when you get home. But I'll never take that for granted again. So yeah, I'm really happy. I'm glad that we're starting somewhere. I didn't expect it at all either, with this tiered system coming into place, that they'd even consider letting fans back in. So a small number, but a start. And yeah, it's a really exciting, it's a really exciting prospect to actually have fans back in stadiums again. So yeah, I'm really made up for people, just not myself.
Yeah, it's a tough one as well, because I mean, obviously we don't know how they're going to dish out the tickets yet or anything, Ben, and whether it's going to go to season ticket holders first. And of course, a lot of people didn't buy season tickets at the start of the season because of the virus, or because of course of the ownership situation, so that will make it a lot more difficult. But I mean, obviously with 2,000 in there, and it will only be home fans, I assume, the same as it was for the Doncaster game, Ben, do you think that will make a difference? Obviously it didn't against Donny, but do you think it can lift the team to the extent that we hope it may do?
I personally didn't go to the Doncaster game. I haven't bought a season ticket this year. I mean, I'm very much as to what you just said. I've had a season ticket since I was 3 years old. But this year, because of the ownership, maybe because a bit of thinking we wouldn't get to a game this year, I haven't bought one. So I'm not sure if I'll be able to get to the game. Living in a London borough, I am allowed to. But yeah, anything would help. I think I read for the Doncaster game, the players' reactions were that their hairs stood up on the back of their necks because they just relished having fans back in. And I mean, they must get sick of shouting to a teammate of theirs and it echoing round the ground, especially if it's a shout in frustration. Or Bowyer must get sick of hearing his own voice going round the ground. So having supporters in, any songs of Lee Bowyer's Red Army, or yeah, just seeing some fellow fans and smiling, just because we're actually under some decent ownership and we are doing better and we have got our Charlton back, that'll definitely be a buzz. And as Lewis said at the time when they went last time, Thomas wasn't there and we lost the game. But this time we can kind of enjoy the game a bit more because we, as I said, we got our Charlton back. We got a good side out there to watch. And hopefully all going well. If it is a pilot game or fans coming back in, is a stepping stone. So fans that aren't able to attend if they're in zones that aren't allowed to attend the game. This is a stepping stone to things going forward, and hopefully we're heading in the right direction, because I personally didn't think I'd see any football this season. So Anything's good. Let's hope we get a good result for it.
Yeah, it's incredible, really, Lewis. So you mentioned about how you're not going to take it for granted. But this a year ago, this is something you never could have envisaged. Is it being kept away from the ground for so long? It's just something that just does not compute at all. So it's amazing how used to watching the games in empty stadiums, whether it via the stream or they're working, we've probably got to, but it'll be such a nice change to see people in there. Like I say, even if you're watching on the stream, just to hear some atmosphere. I've seen stuff in, you know, other countries where they've had a few thousand fans in, and it will make a massive difference in terms of your viewing experience.
Yeah, 100%. You know, we had a couple of weeks ago, Northern Ireland had fans in, didn't they, for the Euro playoff, and it does make a huge difference. It's tough sometimes, you know, watching a stream with no sort of any crowd noise or atmosphere in the background. I mean, we're lucky we've got Greg and Tell, you know, with the commentary that it kind of keeps it exciting, because if you're watching it sort of as it is, it's pretty difficult sometimes, you know, especially when it's sort of dead silent, you can just hear the players shouting and stuff. So any fan attendance, I mean, I went to that Donny game, and you know, it was loud and stuff, and you know, as we said, the performance wasn't really what we wanted at the time. It was a very different side at the time, and it would just make a huge difference to the players and Bowyer as well. You know, he said so many times over the years, like when the Valley's rocking and everyone's bouncing and all that, you know, all this stuff. We've been without that for way too long. So yeah, it's a great move, isn't it, for football. It's a slow stepping stone, as Benji says, to getting football and elite sport back to normality when it comes to spectators. And hopefully this is the first step in the right direction. And as we progress over the winter and maybe a vaccine becomes sort of more, you know, heavily produced in the spring, maybe we'll get back up to a more sort of usual capacity just before the end of the season. We might be able to see the end of the season out with a packed Valley again, who knows. But I'm hoping that I can go sooner rather than later, but we'll have to see. But either way, for me watching at home, even, it's, as you say, it's going to make a huge difference having fans there. And for me, it's just more satisfying seeing that the issue was spectators in football stadiums has finally been addressed, because there's been so many parliamentary debates where it's been like, well, you can do this inside but you can't go and watch your football team outdoor socially distanced. And there's always been that sort of that tug of war between the footballing bodies and the government. So now they've finally listened and put the wheels in motion to get, you know, the slow return of supporters back. It's a positive step for the sport.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as we say, if Charlton Pro, like, it was proven they could do it safely in the game against Doncaster, so you do wonder why it's taken this long if it's something that can be proven to be safe. There's plenty of other stuff that you can go out and about and do, like meet people outside. You know, this isn't that different. I think, like was said earlier, the only real big difference for me is how people travel to the game. But you know, that's something that will be that people will think about, and I'm sure they're ensured they'll be safe. Right, just before we go to the break, actually, a message from Nathan, but from all of us really here at Charlton Live. A message from Mark Windham, who's battling illness currently. You know, just to stay strong and you know, focus on getting yourself back down the Valley again when you can as well, and hopefully seeing Charlton have a very good season. Keep fighting and stay strong. So that's from Nathan, but from all of us at Charlton Live as well. That's from Mark Windham. I hope you can keep your spirits up. Right, let's have a quick break. When we'll come back, we'll start to focus our attention on the game with Ipswich Town.
Shinny prepares to take. Shinny takes.
It's a shot! Oh, great freaking! Oh, the power was too strong for Eastwood. He dived to his left, but it's past him. And Shinny, who got the assist for the first goal, now opens his Charlton account with a lovely free kick. And Charlton, just before half-time, make it two. That you're gonna be okay anyway.
You know there's no rest. Charlton Live. Right, welcome back then. This is Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Now time to turn our attention to Saturday's trip up to Portman Road. A big one, really. One of the bigger clubs, aren't they, in League One. Ipswich Town sitting fifth in the table, just 2 points ahead of us in sixth. We've got a game in hand on them. But tough one. It's going to be a strange one. Both sides going into this game on the back of heavy defeats. Ipswich beating 3-0 at home by Hull City, who do sit on the top of the table. We were beating on the team at the bottom of the table, although Burton are now 22nd now, so there's no shame in that. But obviously both teams looking for a reaction. Lee Bayer was asked about the game. He's going to look ahead to the game shortly, but also a bit of fitness, a bit of a squad update for fitness. The first thing that Lee Bayer was asked about during press day in this clip today was how Akinfenwo is getting on his return to fitness.
Yep, he's on course. He trained with us today. First day with us, so he's obviously been outside for maybe a week. He trained with us today. Saturday will be too soon to bring him with us. But Wednesday, we're looking to start getting back into the squad on Wednesday.
I forgot to ask about Ryan Innes and the extent of his injury. Do we know quite how bad it is yet?
No, again, he's having scans, but he's got to see specialists and people like that. So it's going to be a while, though, Terry. That's all I say. I don't want to put a time on it and put our physios under pressure, not at the moment. Mm-hmm. So once we do get all the finalisation, then I'll let everyone know. But I don't want to just chuck figures out there when they might change, you know. So that he's still got to see certain people before we can go down that line.
Well, it'll be Ipswich on Saturday, the rearrange game on Saturday, and they're fifth in the table, but a place above us. But after a good start, they've had some mixed results as well. So it's almost like two sides are going at it with a little bit of something to react to. Not necessarily something to prove, but something to react to. But can that work in our favour? Obviously, even though they're fifth, they're going to be under a little bit of pressure as well.
Yeah, they're under pressure because, for one, they're at home. But I think I heard that Tuesday night was the first time they lost at home all season.
Yeah.
So they're obviously a good side at home. They're a good footballing side. I watched their game the other night, and even Hull won 3-0. It wasn't a 3-0 game. The scoreline was definitely generous there to Hull. They're a good side. I think the reason why their results have been so up and down, so is that they've had quite a few injuries. I think there was a time when they had no strikers, but now they're all back, so it's going to be a tough game. They're a good side. They're a good side that can hurt you, more so in the final third. They're very good in the final third.
It's an obvious thing to say, but you know, this December we got, I think it's 8 games in 5 weeks when you include the festive schedule. But given, obviously you're going to rotate, you've said that already, but given the way we finished on Tuesday, does it have a bearing on what you put out on Saturday?
Not really, because each person, you have to look at them as an individual and what they're capable of. So, Albie Morgan, obviously my plan with him on Tuesday was to rest him. So, I had no intention in actually putting him on Tuesday. I just wanted him to rest for Saturday, because he'd done really well last Saturday. So that was the best game I thought he'd played for us. So he'll be coming back into the side. And again, we have to reevaluate tomorrow. We'll see again how some bodies are feeding. I've not picked the team fully yet. I've got a good idea. But we're just waiting on a couple to see how they're feeding in the morning. And some people was disappointed in the other evening, so then naturally everybody thinks, well, they come out, but everyone has off days. So I won't give too much away.
There we go then, Lee Bayer looking ahead to the game with Ipswich Town. And as we heard at the start there, talking about the fitness of Akinfenwo and Ryan Innes, obviously our two centre-backs who played so well during that long spell we went without conceding a goal. Then we lost Innes, didn't we, to a quad injury last week, and he still can't really give us a time frame on that one. But we lost Akinfenwo. I think it was during the game, wasn't it, against Portsmouth. And he went off, and we survived the last few minutes without him, but he's been out for a while. But yeah, great news that he's back in training today, Benji. Because, I mean, we've missed a pair of them, and you think, well, if you can have at least one of them back, then that will help with the organisation and, of course, the qualities that they both bring to the game.
Yeah, definitely. I think with Famwo, he was really good at playing the ball from the back. I remember him playing a few good balls, either to Bogle or Washington, to hold the ball up. So I think we've missed him more because I think his ball distribution was very good. of course, with Ryan, he was a danger in both box. He was good at defending it and clearing his lines at the back, but he also caused a lot of problems in the other box with his aerial presence from corners. So we've missed that as well. But, yeah, it's a shame that Ryan, we don't know how long he'll be out because he was turned into a big force for us. But, yeah, having one of them back will definitely help. Can maybe push Prattley or Gunter back to their familiar positions. And as we know, hopefully Jason or Deji haven't got long till they're able to start a game. Especially Jason, I think having your captain back in, a bit of leadership. I think we missed that on Tuesday night. We missed organisation. There were a lot of players that were, I think we just all were a lot spread out. We weren't in our correct positions with our lines. And yeah, having a big leader at the back who's played numerous games at that position and as our captain, it'll be great to have Jason back. And yeah, Famwo's a young player, so having Jason alongside him can only be good and help coach him. So hopefully, yeah, not too long to see them back. But yeah, we also got young Charlie Barker as well there, so I don't know if Bo will be after Tuesday's game, maybe look to bring him in. I'm not sure after today he said he'll probably stick with Gunter and Prattley, so we might have to play a different way. But yeah, if we get Famwo or Pierce back in, it'll be good just to get some normality back in that defence.
I mean, well, that is a debate then to be had. Benji's brought it up there, Lewis. I mean, Charlie Barker, he has played games at the start of this season. We have to remember he's 17 years old, and he's realistically, you just shouldn't be near the first team at that age. You need to go through and learn the game through the 23s and then get out on loan. But at the same time, could he possibly be any worse than what we saw on Tuesday? And am I getting carried away? Because like, I did say that Gunter and Prattley have had good games at centre-back. Now, are we all getting carried away? Or should Charlie Barker be chucked in and made captain? Which way should we go?
I think I agree with you, really, with the Charlie Barker set. I think that, you know, he was in the squad really because we didn't have an awful lot of options at the start of the season. Saying that, he did himself no harm at all. He was fantastic, and he had the game at Donny where he scored the own goal. But that really didn't take a huge amount of confidence out of him. And he's a great young player, but we've got to protect those players and chucking him in now that we do have the options. I mean, I know they're injured at the moment, but you know, Deji and Piercy can't be too far off, and Gunter and Dazza Prattley, you know, they're both experienced pros. They didn't have the best game on Tuesday, but they have done it there before. You know, Chris Gunter played centre half against Pompey when Innes was suspended, and we got a clean sheet there. I mean, of course, he had Famwo alongside him, but he still had a decent game. So I think I would stick with it for now. We haven't really got a huge amount of choice. I mean, that's not to say that if Barker was in there, I'd think he was out of his depth, because I think he's a fantastic young prospect. But, you know, at the start of the season, he was in and around it because we didn't really have anybody else. Now we have got those options. Maybe he can sort of get those minutes, you know, at under 23's level, or, you know, even under 18's, where he can kind of, you know, go naturally with his development rather than being sort of fast-tracked into the first team because we haven't got anybody. And, you know, either burning out or having a real tough game against one of the top sides and having all the confidence knocked out of his sails. So I think I'd stick with it as it is for now. I mean, the sooner that that Akin Famwo and Ryan are back, the better. Same with Piercy. I think Benji hit the nail on the head with Piercy. Like, we missed that, you know, that leadership from him. I thought he was one of our better players post-lockdown in the Championship. And we do miss him big time. And the same with Deji. I mean, Deji hasn't set the world alight with his performances for Charlton, but he's also had some solid displays. And again, he's quite versatile and fits in at right back or in the middle as well. So the options are there. Just typically, they're all injured at the same time. But hopefully, Piercy and Dej aren't too far away. And then I imagine, you know, Akin will follow. And sadly, we don't really know a huge amount about Ryan Innes. And that's a shame too, because he's someone that came in and we were all a little bit cautious because of a reputation, and he's come in and, you know, proved everybody wrong. He's been absolutely fantastic. So I'm hoping that we'll get him back as soon as possible as well.
Yeah, I mean, let's focus on Ipswich Town a little bit then. And this is one of those ones where you can really play around with the stats. Well, they've only won one in their last three league games. Or you could say, oh, they've won three of their last five league games. So on a bit of a mixed bag of form. I mean, if you look at the last few games in all competitions, but that does include taking into account a Football League trophy game. They've lost three of the last five and only won one of the last five, including the FA Cup defeat against Portsmouth, which is the reason we're able to play them on Saturday, because obviously this is FA Cup second round weekend and we managed to get out of it. But they've had their injury problems this season by the sounds of it, Ben. It's always very interesting to try and gauge how other teams' fans feel about their side, but you can't really be shocked that Ipswich fans are grumbling, because they've been down there for a couple of years now. They've not really hit the heights of what an Ipswich side would expect to in this league. I mean, don't forget, they're in the Championship for so long. Was it about 15, 16, 17 seasons in a row they're in the Championship? So for all of a sudden to find themselves in League One and struggling a bit, you can understand why their fans aren't too happy.
Yeah, I'll tell you one person who is happy, probably Mick McCarthy. He got hounded out that club, didn't he? And the fans were annoyed that they've been proven right now, isn't it? Yeah, I think that, I remember hearing an interview with him about that when they got relegated, and he said, well, there's the job I was doing. I was doing a job with my hands tied with a restricted budget, and he was keeping them in the Championship every year. But yeah, you look at their team, I think there's a couple of standout players, Judge, Freddie Sears, Norwood, a few good players in there that we've got to be careful of, but obviously we've got our own. But I think last year they went through very similar stage where they started the season well and then they faded away. So whether their supporters are going to start getting on Lambert's back because they saw it last year and they don't want the same to happen again, we'll see. And look, we should be fired up for that. Maybe Boa should enforce that into our team to say, look, their fans are starting to get on their manager's back. We get an early goal. They might feel that. Obviously, no supporters there, but I'm sure the players are feeling it a bit, because that was a bit of a thump in midweek for them, wasn't it, against Hull? Especially, they'd look at that as a promotion rival, and they'll look at us the same, the way we started the season. So, yeah, it's obviously a great time for us to bounce back against the side that we're at the moment, we're battling it out with them to finish in the top six. So, it'll be an interesting game. Let's hope we can start early and put them on the back foot, because unfortunately that's what Burton did to us. So hopefully we can turn the tables and look, they got thumped in midweek. We scored we kind of got a little bit of a thumping, but we scored two goals in that. Smith getting his first goal. Chuck's getting another goal. So we got some bit of confidence to take from Tuesday night, so hopefully we can use that to our advantage.
Yeah, especially, I mean, it's always important the way you react to these shock defeats. I mean, I'm looking at the season we lost 5-3 to Scunthorpe. We then actually went on to lose at home to Coventry the next game anyway. But we followed up the 1-0 loss at Rochdale, which was very disappointing, with a 2-0 win at Doncaster. You know, we come back from these poor performances. I remember a really disappointing 2-1 defeat at Blackpool in that same season, whereas the next game we went on to win 2-1 down at Portsmouth, which was viewed as a massive result at the time. So it's about how you bounce back, and for some individuals as well, Lewis, it's going to be about how they bounce back. And I mean, Lee's going to have a big decision, because it's difficult to know whether we can play Chucks from the start. Lee's always very careful about that. So I mean, surely is he going to play Bogle again? And if he does, I mean, he's really going to have to go some to prove himself on Saturday. But I think after that, you can't see him playing, can you? Can you?
I personally know, but I also think I can't see him starting Chucks. I just think, like, he's come out quite a few times, hasn't he? And Chucks is impressed in every performance I've seen him this season. And he's always questioned at the end, Boa, about, like, oh, you know, could we maybe be starting him? And we see it on Twitter, like, should Chuck be starting over Bogle? But Lee comes out constantly and just says that, you know, he's quite unpredictable when it comes to his body and his fitness. And with him performing quite well at the moment, you know, he had an injury ravaged season for us last year, didn't really hit the ground running. Boa's has come out many a time and said that if his, you know, his fitness was better and he didn't pick up these little annoying injuries, he wouldn't be playing in League One. He'd be nowhere near League One. You know, he'd be a constant starter at a Championship side. So I mean, he's making these impacts off the bench where he's probably got, you know, enough in the tank to make a real impact. I think maybe Connor Washington would start maybe alongside Smith, or maybe you'd go for a three and have you know, maybe Madison or Johnny either side, something like that. It depends really away from home how they want to line up. But I'd like to think we'd go back to a diamond, because I think the diamond suits us, and we just seem a little bit more creative, and we get the best out of our midfielders in that diamond. And I think Albie has to start too. You know, Albie came on Tuesday, and I feel like his performances this season have been absolutely outstanding. And to hear Boya, you know, complimenting him now as well, because we've always had the running joke that it just seems like he seems to just like not like him. But I don't think that's the case. I think he just sees himself in Albie, and it's the frustration when he maybe does the things that he wouldn't do as a player. But now he's getting in the box, you know, he's doing the dirty work defensively, he's doing everything. And he got a great assist. Well, he put a good ball in for Chucks on Tuesday night, and he's impressed me completely. So I'd like to see him come in maybe for Madison. Washington, I'd like to see come in for Bogle. I'd stick with Smith, because I think Smith brings something, you know, that pace and can get in either side of defender and play a ball into someone like Washington, Chucks or Omar. So, I mean, it depends, doesn't it? I mean, the immediate reaction from Bogle might be, you know, start him, stick him in there and see what he can do. But at the same time, if he does get stuck in there from the start and doesn't perform, it makes the job even harder to bounce back going forward. So maybe you take him out of the spotlight a little bit and stick Washington in there, or maybe even Chucks, and just get 60 minutes out of Chucks and take him off. But I just feel like the impact from Chucks is, you know, going on like those tiring defenders a little bit later on in the game. He's just unplayable. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how Bo lines up. But I wouldn't be surprised if Omar was on the bench and maybe we saw Washington start in front of him.
Right, well, it's going to be a fascinating game at Portman Road on Saturday then. So let's have very quickly your predictions then, please. Benji, first of all, how do you see it going?
I'm going to go 2-1 Charlton.
I'll take that. Lewis?
I'm going to go 1-0 Charlton. I think we're going to go full circle, get a clean sheet.
Nice, that'll be the lovely way to round off the week after that horror show on Tuesday evening. Right, we've run out of time on this week's big match preview. Thanks to all of you who've joined us and listened all the way to the end. Thanks to those of you who emailed in as well. Thank you to Benji and to Lewis for joining us here.
Cheers, mate. Thanks very much.
Good to have you both. I've been Louis Menes. Thank you then for listening, and we'll be back here on Sunday to look back at whatever happens. Hopefully 3 points for them Charlton boys. We'll see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.